It is time for Children's Church. Yeah, I'm getting waved in the back. They're coming.
Better.
If you know it, see if I can get this thing right here. I grew up in California since I was a wee little lad, and I went to Minor Bay Academy, and then I made my way to Tennessee. Never been out of state that far. Maybe I've been to Arizona. Yeah, I've been to Arizona, but not across the United States. Went to Tennessee, and I went to school, and I was there for some time, and I finally went to a Waffle House. Have you ever been to a Waffle House? So I've had lots of waffles and lots of hash browns, and my mom made hash browns growing up, a lot, actually. And my hash browns consisted of potatoes and ketchup. Yay, right? Great. That's wonderful. They're good. Well, when I got to this Waffle House, I was sitting there, and it was a smoke-filled Waffle House because everybody was smoking there. That was new to me, too. And the guy next to me says, "I'll have hash browns covered, smothered, and diced." And I thought, what? What did he just order? And the waitress came, and she said, "What do you want, honey?" And I said, what did he just order?" "He ordered hash browns covered, smothered, and diced." And I said, "Well, what is that?" She goes, "You got to try it." And I said, "Okay." And I tried it. And let me tell you, it was so much better. Because these hash browns, they came out. You know, have you ever had hash browns like that? You know what I'm talking about? Covered with cheese, smothered, and diced. There's three. So onions, cheese, and tomatoes, all on the hash browns, cooked that way. Let me tell you, it went from good to better really quick. Really, really quick. You know, how many of you want to have a better year this year than you did last year? Raise your hand. Come on now, right? You want to have a better year this year than you did last year, right? Of course we do. You'd be crazy not to want to have a better year. The tragic thing is, though, for so many people in our culture, pursuing what we call the good life, we want nice things, we want comfort, we want convenience, we want fun, and there's nothing wrong with those things as long as God has your heart. Amen? But the tragedy is, here's the tragedy. The tragedy is so many people are settling for the good life when God has something indescribably better for you. In fact, a key thought to drive us through the series, if you have a handout, go to your handout. If you don't have a handout, Alan has some of them right now. Raise your hand, Alan will give them to you, these study guides, handouts for the sermon today. Ben has them too. There you go. There you go. Over there is a few. Hope we have enough. So a key thought for this sermon series is the first bullet point there. It says, you're going to have to let go of the good to grab hold of the better, right? You're going to have to let go of the good, stop settling for the good life, stop striving for the good life when God has something indescribably better for you. In other words, you're never going to get your hash browns covered, smothered, and diced if you keep settling for the plain hash browns with ketchup, right? I learned that. So today we're starting a new series called Better. And what we're going to do over the course of the next few weeks is we're going to look at different verses in the Bible that have the word better in them. And we're going to memorize these verses together over the next 5 weeks. Next week we're going to talk about a verse, and let me tell you this, it's a message that I think will shake you a little bit because it's powerful. And this is what the verse says right here. Let me go to the next slide. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil, a chasing after the wind. That's what we're going to talk about next week. Better is one handful. You know, unfortunately, we live in a world that drives us to two handfuls, and so many of us are overwhelmed, overworked, and stressed out, burned out, no intimacy. And we're learning that better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil. So let's start this week, and we're going to look at our scripture, our text. Psalms 84:10, but I'm going to start in verse 1 and in verse 2 because I think that sets the context for verse 10. And it says this. It says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty." Then I love this language that the psalmist says, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord." Now, if you're new to the Bible, in the Old Testament, you may say, why would your soul yearn for the courts of the Lord? Why would your soul yearn for the courts of the Lord? Well, anytime you see that in the Old Testament, it's actually a picture or a representation. It represents the presence of God. So when you say my soul yearns and faints for the courts of the Lord, it means I want to be in your presence, God. I long to be in your presence, God. And here's our memory verse. Right here. I'll read it and then we're going to say it together a few times. "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd be a doorkeeper in the house of the of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." Okay, we're going to say it together. Are you ready? "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." I think rather needs to be added in there. Yeah, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. And you know, being a doorkeeper in the house of God is a pretty lowly kind of spot, right? It means you're just by the door, opening and shutting the door. But you'd rather be there than anywhere else. Let's do it again. Read it again. Go ahead. "I'd rather be a doorkeeper, house of God, than dwell in the tents of the wicked." Amen. Amen. Let's try it now. Go ahead. "One day than 1,000. I'd rather be..." Now, should I pick on someone? No, but that's a text that really struck me this week. Because the psalmist is saying, better. It's better to have one day in your courts than 1,000 days somewhere else. That's heavy. That's heavy. You may say, how or why is that better, Pastor Josh? Well, let me tell you what I think. It's better because God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. God's ways are better than our ways. And Scripture says, His love is better than life. His love is better than life. Do we need to be reminded of that today? A day with God is better because with Christ, you have the forgiveness of sins. Your sins have been separated in God's eyes as far as the east is from the west. He never holds them against you. And a day with God is better because you have the security of knowing that you're in the family of God. A day with God is better because no matter what's going on, you have the supernatural peace that goes beyond what non-Christians have the ability to understand. A day with God is better because you have joy unspeakable. Your happiness is not based on the happenings of the world, but based on a joy on who God is, an understanding of who God is. A day with God is better because you have His divine calling and purpose in your life. Amen? When you wake up in the morning, you know that God knew me before I was even born. He knew me in my mother's womb. And I know that I and also you have a unique calling and a unique purpose and a unique contribution to make in this life. A day with God is better because if you're a Christian, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, guess what, lives in you. got a little life action there. Are you taking it in, or are you sleeping? Sometimes I can't tell. I was at a church last week and nobody responded hardly. No, it's okay. That's I was told that's how it was. But sometimes, and I'm going off, I'm sidetracking here. Sometimes I get sidetracked because when I look out, I see people, and I'm thinking, are they confused? Are they angry? Are they like, are they sleeping? Yeah, yeah. And so I say sometimes these profound things, and to be honest, I can relate because I write them out, and I go, okay, on to the next thing, and then God slaps me upside the head and says, hey, what'd you just write, man? And I'm like, oh, God, that's really incredible. Like, that's really cool. I need to stop and thank you for this. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead has the ability to live inside you and I, in our heart, in our mind. Is that good news? Amen. It is good news. A day with God is better because you have His provision. You have everything you need to do, everything God wants you to do. Scripture says you have everything you need for life and for godliness. Now, what I'm not saying, and I hope you hear me here, is I'm not saying that you'll never have trials and tribulations and hard times and everything's going to be great. That's not true. In the middle of the storms, Jesus is your peace in that storm. In fact, and I wrote here, I'd rather be in the boat in a storm with Jesus than on the shore without Him. Yeah? A day with God is better. So that raises the question, if better is one day with God, how do we have a day with Him? How do we have, in your study guide there it says, question, how do we have a day with God? You know, if you would have asked me this several years ago, I would have said something like this. I would have said, you know, how you have a day with God is you wake up in the morning and you go to your special place and you open the Word of God and you read it for a considerable amount of time and then you pray and you have this awesome communication time with God and then you go about your day. But that's not what the Old Testament speaks of when it talks about communing with God. What I want to do, is encourage you to what I believe is a more biblical day with God. I want you to take notes if you want. Rather than just having God compartmentalized time for God in your life, I want to encourage you, as your study guide says, to live with an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. To live with an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. That means you're going to have to recognize that all day you're aware that God is with you, guiding you, comforting you, convicting you, speaking to you. You don't just have time with God. You literally do life with God. Think of it this way. In the Old Testament, there's no Hebrew word for spiritual. Do you know that? There's no Hebrew word translated as spiritual, because God, who is spirit, when He created everything in His image, everything is spiritual. If a disciple were to come up to Jesus and said, how's your spiritual life? Jesus would have said, what? Huh? What do you mean, how's my spiritual life? I'm about my Father's business. That's what I'm doing. Everything we're doing is spiritual. To call one thing as spiritual, to say something else is not spiritual, but to God, everything is spiritual. Think of it this way. In the Old Testament, God would dwell in the temple, right? And the people would go to the temple so that they could dwell with God. But in the New Testament, Jesus comes and He dies and He's raised. And at Pentecost, the Spirit goes out. And now, where does the Spirit reside? In the temple? Well, yes, in the temple, yeah, kind of a. But in us, right? Dwells with us all the time. You know, you don't have to go somewhere to be with God. God has come to dwell inside of you. And because of that, you can literally have a day with God. And if you can have a day with God, then you can have a week with God. And if you can have a week with God, then you can have a month with God. You know where I'm going, right? If you can have a month with God, you can have a year. If you can have a year, you can have a lifetime here on earth with God. Oh, it goes on for eternity, Ben. You're right there. So what Paul says in Colossians 3:17 now makes total sense. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It doesn't say there, Paul doesn't say, hey, what you do 70% of the time, reality check for me, right? Whatever you do in word, in deed, what you speak, how you live your life, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Those are some strong words there. Everybody, whatever you do, you're driving to work, you're texting your mom, you're going to the grocery store, you're studying for chemistry, you're practicing football, whatever you do, whether in deed or in word, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's spiritual. It's all spiritual. How do we go and just have a day with God? How do we do that? Boy, it's quiet in here. Okay. It's a choice, inviting him in. Here's the thing. Because if you're like me, I'm a human. Yes, I am. You got good intentions, but I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to be aware of his presence. And then you go to your TV or you go to your phone or whatever it is. And you're all of a sudden you're listening to music and you're doing stuff and you've forgotten your maker. Oh God, I'm sorry. I just watched this TV show for an hour and I completely forgot that I was a man of God, right? What I want you to do, what I want to do for you, based on your study guides here, is give you three habits that I believe if we can work on these habits day in and day out, we can commune with God every day, all day. And they're in your study guides. And let me promise you, if you can incorporate these disciplines into your life, you're going to discover a better, ongoing, unending relationship, acknowledging the presence of God, and you can literally do life with God. So here's the three habits. Number one, develop the habit of constant communication with God. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17. There it is, both verses right there. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Right? Pray continually. Now, one of the versions says pray without ceasing. In other words, pray all the time. I don't know about you, but sometimes my prayer life can fluctuate. I can get up and I can be in a situation and I can start praying and pouring my heart out. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the trash is going to go out in the morning. I got to go get the trash cans. And I run outside because I hear the trash truck coming down the street and I'm taking out the trash cans, right? We're bombarded continually with life. And so it can be hard to sometimes even pray, communicate with God for a prolonged period of time. Some of you are shaking your heads like, yeah, I get that, right? You know, here's the thing. And I want to encourage you this morning to develop a constant communication with God. Because, you know, to be honest, it can be it can be easier to wake up. Maybe you're alone or your spouse is sleeping, to go read your Bible, to have a prayer. But in the middle of chaos, maybe it's at work with an employee, maybe it's with your spouse or your child or some situation. In the middle of that, being confronted with conflict, is it your natural response to always turn and say, Lord, what would you have me do here? Lord, will you have my heart and guide me in this conversation? Because I'm feeling like I'm angry. I'm frustrated. You fill in the blank. You know, you can go about your day all day with God. And here's a good illustration of why I think you can do this. How many of you have these little things? Raise your hands. Come on. How many of you carry them into the bathroom? I'm not joking. Yeah, see, over there. I do too. It's with me all the time, right? Why is this with me all the time? Because I can communicate to family members and friends all the time. It's a constant communication device that I use, and I do. Not only through the text messages and phone, but through social media and other avenues like that as well, I can communicate quickly with people. Well, here's the thing. Because I'm on this, I'm connected with people all day long in short bursts of communications. For example, if you're on Twitter, you've got 140 characters. Actually, they doubled it last month. But you can use to tell people what's going on or what's happening, or maybe you're at an event like the GC and you're tweeting what's going on. You can text, you can communicate. All day long we can do that. In fact, I just looked at my phone and I had a text message from Smith, praying for you, Pastor. Keep it up. A text message from my wife, praying for you, wish I could be there. You look great in your suit this morning. I won't read the rest. Sorry. No. I won't go there. Awkward. Here's the thing. You're kind of embarrassed. Anyway, where was I? All day long, I have short bursts of communication with people, with friends, with colleagues, with people I worked with in the Texas conference, with people, overseas missionaries that I know that are working overseas. I'm constantly connecting with these people. Can't we do that with God? Amen? I mean, how about you're driving to work or you're riding your bike in the morning and you see this awesome sunrise and you go, man, praise God. That's amazing. God is so good. Or maybe you're in your car and you're listening to a worship song and it's talking about the cross and you're like, I am so thankful, God, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Right? Or perhaps you see that person that's hurting, and instead of wondering why and going on with life, you go, I'm going to pray for that person right now. Lord, may your spirit just build them up today. Give them the joy of the Lord. Or maybe your child, son or daughter, is taking an exam today and you remember it. You put it on your phone, dings at 1:30 and you pray. Right? Here's the thing. Over and over again, we need to learn to be in constant communication with God. Constantly. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is to develop the habit of, what does it say there? Instant obedience to God. And the verse, the text is Galatians 5:25. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So, constant communication with God, and then instant obedience to God. Here's the deal. If you're constantly communicating with God, if you're constantly in His Word, then guess what? He's going to speak to you. He's going to direct you. He's going to guide you. You're going to know what's right and what's wrong. You're going to know, okay, this is what He says. This is what I need to do. Whether that's talking with somebody, praying with somebody, keeping the Sabbath, whatever that might be, God will reveal that to you because you're in communication with God, with prayer, and in His Word. Has God ever put you in a situation where you knew God had put you in that situation, that place? Anybody? Yeah? Somebody want to share a story about when God put you in a situation? Ben, come on up. Blue mic.
Last year, I flew to Florida to go to a wedding at Destin. And when I was there, the hurricane was coming. And so my flight got canceled. Hmm. But God gave me a beautiful opportunity. The pastor that was doing the service for the wedding was going to Arkansas, 10 miles from where my flight was going to go to. And I got to meet a new pastor and spend 10 hours with him and his wife. And just fellowshipping, and I knew that my flight had been canceled, and he's starting a ministry in Northwest Arkansas, and I've got some special friends there that I was going to visit. They haven't been going to church, and over the last couple weeks, they've started this ministry, and my friends are so excited. They're now becoming a part of this ministry, and they're so excited he's going to retire. And he's going to quit focusing on making money because he's great at making money. But he wants to give his life to the Lord.
Amen. So it sounds like it was a divine appointment that God had that plane grounded. And you got to go spend 10 hours with this gentleman. And now you're seeing friends come to Jesus because of that. I'm sure we all can relate to stories like that where God puts us in situations and we don't always know why, but we know when the situation's over that God put us there for a reason. And we can say praise God for that. Better is one day in His courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. You know, I want to encourage you to develop the habit of constant communication with God and instant obedience to His Spirit. And the third thing on your study guide is a daily desperation for God. A daily desperation for God. Now, you know, David says here, "My soul yearns for you, my heart faints for the living God." When's the last time you went on like that? Anyone? I don't see a lot of hands going up. Okay. Yeah. Now, if you did that, what if you did that privately and publicly? Yeah. Right? Ina, what if you went to Walmart and you went out front and you said, "My soul yearns for you. My heart faints for you." People would think you're weird. It's a good word, right? But let me tell you why we don't pray that sometimes or speak that. And this is, I'm going to maybe step on toes, okay? I believe it's because we don't have an appetite for God. You know, you develop an appetite for what you eat. And here's the deal. When you feed on the things of this world, the good life, we develop an appetite for the good life. But when God shows up, God has something indescribably better. Did you hear? I said better. If all you ever eat is plain old hash browns, then that's all you're going to be, that's all you're going to know. But the minute you get those hash browns covered, smothered, and diced, it's better. You see, if all you seek is the things this world has, all you're going to desire is what this world gives. But if you start to seek God, and I mean seek God, you're going to develop a daily desperation for Him. God, I need you today. God wants to show up in every corner of our life, in every area of our life. You don't believe it? Do what David did. Cry out to Him. Study the Word. God will show up over and over and over again. Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And you know, you taste Him and suddenly you become hungry and desperate for more of Him. In fact, this is what David says here. He says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Did David have water? Sure he did. But he's talking about living water. Yeah. "I have seen you in the sanctuary," and this is going on, "and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is," are you ready? "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you." You see, David realized that God's love was better than his entire life. And he believed it. And he longed to know God and have His presence be known. You know, my challenge for you and for me, as I've studied and prayed and gone over that this week, is we need to put into practice some of these simple spiritual disciplines on the daily basis. Amen? Ourselves. When we look in the mirror, that's who we need to check. Not our neighbor, not our person across the pew, but individually. And it's through those things that we can understand that God has a better plan for us, a better purpose for us. And we can come to the conclusion that David did, that God's love is better than life. You know, when you're in constant communication with God, when you're obeying Him, when you're feeding on Him and enjoying Him, you realize that He is better, and never again settle for the good life. Because you want something better. His forgiveness, His grace, His mercy, His power, His sovereignty working in each of our lives. Better is one day. You know, I want to pray right now. I'd like you to bow your heads. Father, I pray that you would plant this truth deep in our hearts, and that we would be forever different as your word transforms us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about this last year of your life and ask yourself, were you characterized by doing life with an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence? You don't have to answer it out loud. This is just a question you can reflect and think about. Chances are that if you're like most people, most Christians, you would say, "No, I really wasn't." Let me just tell you, though, it's possible. Amen? God wants to walk you to walk with Him on a daily basis, constantly communicating, instantly obeying, and desperately seeking and needing Him. And I'm going to tell you there's something better, and that's an ongoing, unending relationship with the God of the universe. You want that? You want to know His presence? You want to be available to what He says? If that's you, would you just lift your hand this morning? Say, "God, that's me. Better. God, I thank you for a church full of people who really want to know you intimately and serve you wholeheartedly. God, as we leave this place, may we take these study guides, may we take the Bible, may we take time out to discuss what it means to live with you every minute of the day. Father, thank you for having your Spirit work. May you continue to call us, to knock on the doors of our hearts, and to make known Jesus to us. Father, I pray all this in Jesus' name today. Amen.